In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I've often heard that the sermons in Acts are really very helpful for 21st century mission and evangelism. I don't find them of all that much help, unless I'm talking to Jews who know the story, or people who have altars to unknown gods. But in this text that we just heard this morning, we have Paul in Antioch of Pisidia getting down kind of to the basics. He uses the narrative, I always like that, in a sermon, and he centers on what he centers on, for instance, in the Epistle to the Romans, that Jesus died for our sin, he was handed over into death, and then he was raised to restore us to righteousness. That's simply said, easily said. We hear it often and just get on with life. Well, we have crosses hanging all over, around our necks, on our walls, but we say death and resurrection so often that it's easy to take it too lightly. It says, the man died. The man died for God's sake. No, I guess for our sake. No, maybe for God's sake too, for God so loved the world. He didn't have to. There's no necessity for God. But because he wanted to, because that's just the way he is. And too often I fear, I at least say, nice of you to think of us, God, ignoring the fact that we are his preoccupation, that he thinks constantly of us, that he is pouring out his heart in love for you and me. And so we go on with life, saying it and then not thinking that much about death and resurrection, and not thinking much about our sin or our sanctity. Is it nothing to you, all you have passed by? Or is it just too hard a saying? Our former student, Matt Heise, who's now head of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, tells about coming on campus and getting the first orientation from, at that time, Dean of Students Larry Rockerman. And Matt still remembers to this day, and that's been a good, what, 15, 20, no, more than 20 years ago. Matt still remembers Larry saying, and when you come onto campus in your cars, drive slowly. You don't want to have to get out of your car and pick up the crumpled body of the child of one of your fellow students. And Matt still drives 15 when he comes on campus. It is a hard saying. Jesus died for you and for me. None of us can live with the death of another person on our conscience. But Christ died for us. He died because of us. He died because we have listened to our father, the devil, who is a liar and a murderer. Well, he's no longer our father. He lost the paternity suit. He lost us as children when Christ died and rose and comes to share his death and resurrection with us. I will admit that it gets easier to think about the resurrection of the body the older you get. Pauline and I were last week with her brother and sister-in-law in Branson, and we got to go with them on their usual Wednesday route, handing out Meals on Wheels. And one of the men came to the door to get the meals, and on his t-shirt it said, "And Christ died for me." Pauline said, "I like your t-shirt," and he turned his back to us, and on the back it said, "And I'm looking forward to the resurrection of the body." I thought the man had studied under Jeff Gibbs. And then he turned around and said about his bed-bound wife and himself, "We sure are looking forward to getting these new bodies." Or perhaps the problem really is that, you know, we're not too bad. We live fairly chaste and decent and upright middle-class lives. We're not struggling with terribly big sins for the most part. But it is also important for us to remember that each day we fail to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Each day we need also to die again in this mystery of the continuation of sin and evil in our lives. We need to die again so that we can live the kind of life that Jesus rose to give us, walking in his footsteps. Because we miss so much of the joy of the resurrected life if we do not think seriously and deeply about his resurrection. But the fact of the matter is, his tomb is empty. He rose, the man's alive for our sake. And because he lives, we're living even on those days when we think we're in the midst of a nightmare. He not only rolled the stone away, he blew a hole right through it. David Maxwell preached in our congregation on Monday, Thursday, and recalled when one of his father's wine bottles couldn't take the fermentation anymore, and the cork was blown right through the cellar hall. That's the way he pictured, not roll away, the stone was just thrown to who knows where. And we can see through into the life that lasts forever already. That life began when we were baptized, when we died. We died, and dead men have no tales to tell. Not of their own sins, at least, because their sins have been, well, ignore what I just said about the other end of the tomb. Their sins, our sins, have been sealed in Christ's tomb, where the Father doesn't look anymore. And so God sees us as his holy and righteous people. He sees you as righteous. And who are you to disagree with God? You are righteous. If he thinks you're sanctified by the trust you have in what he thinks about you and what he says about you, you are sanctified indeed. In the deed of the one who rose from the dead for you. He's risen. He's risen? Pardon? Oh, let's do it one more time. He's risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah. That's the way it is on this third day of Easter in our Lord's year 2017. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.